Today we'll be reading from John 1, 1 to 18, and this is titled, The Word Became Flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified concerning him. He cried out, saying, "This is the one I spoke about when I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' Out of his fullness we have all received grace in place of grace already given. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known."
Well, good morning again, friends. If you've got your Bible open there, feel free to keep it open. We'll be doing a little bit of Bible jumping today. It won't be just going through one passage, but seeing a few things from different parts of the Bible. But I will jump into that passage at one point. Today, it's probably fair to say that Christians can debate or argue over a whole bunch of things. Anything from the style of worship and the way things should happen at church through to what's going to happen at the end of the world, right through to even things about like the questions of evil and suffering. But do you know what one of the first really big debates was over for Christians? It's something that actually you're probably unlikely to hear Christians talk about today very much. And it is the Trinity. It's the idea that God is three in one, that there is one God, one being, but he exists as three persons, Father, Son, and Spirit. For about the first 400 years of Christian history, this was the big conversation that happened, the big debate amongst believers. How do we talk about a God who is like this? And although modern-day Christians don't talk about this very much, it is our topic for today. We're doing a series all about who God is, and today we're seeing that God is three in one. As I said, today Christians don't often talk about the Trinity that much. In fact, if I say Trinity, what do you think of? Probably, if you're part of a church here with us normally, you think that's our church. That's what we're called, isn't it? Trinity Church. And you're right. If we think about the Trinity, perhaps there's some of us who might go, well, yeah, I know God is three in one, but we don't go any deeper than that. And there may even be some of us who think, look, I just don't need to worry about all that stuff. It's just a big intellectual thing. I don't want to get caught up in that. I'll let the academics worry about that, but I don't want to get caught up in too much of that kind of just mumbo jumbo. And so as I come to this topic today, let me tell you what my two big hopes are for us today. Firstly, I want us to see very plainly and clearly that this idea, the Trinity, comes out of the Bible. It's not invented by people. But then secondly, what I really want us to see is not just what the Trinity means, what we mean by saying Trinity, but why it's important for us. That it's actually not just theological mumbo jumbo, but that God is three in one, that God is Trinity, this has massive implications for all 8 billion humans alive today. So, Let's get into it then. The first thing I want to say here, the first big thing, the starting point, the clear thing that we cannot ignore is that the Bible says there is one God and only one God. You see this right at the start of the Bible. There's one God and he makes everything else. So everything else that is exists because it's made by the one God. And there's a key verse in the Old Testament that states this very plainly. It's a verse that the Israelite people would have said over and over and over again. It's from Deuteronomy chapter 6, and it's this one. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. One God. That's the strong emphasis of the Bible. Except, it's just that, well, as you read the Bible, there's more going on. Let me explain. There's hints of something more in the Old Testament. Lots of hints in the Old Testament, in fact. But I just want to take you to one, probably the first one that we come across in the Bible. Early on in the Bible, you see God talking, but he talks about himself not just by saying me or I, but he talks saying we and our. So in Genesis chapter 1, God says, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness. Or in Genesis 3:22, and the Lord God said, the man has now become like one of us. Or in Genesis chapter 11, the Lord said, come, let us go down. And you think, why is God speaking in that way? It's just one of the hints that we get in the Old Testament, that one of the hints that there's something more to God. And it's not until we get to the New Testament that we see the fullness of this. In the New Testament, we meet Jesus. He's a Jewish man, comes from a very average, normal Jewish family. And so, as was normal for the Jewish people, Jesus treats God as God. He prays to God. He obeys God. He worships the one God alone. But there's more to Jesus than this too. Have a listen to some of the things Jesus said in his life. Jesus calls God Father, and he says this, believe me when I say that I'm in the Father, and the Father's in me. Another time Jesus said, I and the Father are one. Or there's another point in the Bible, in John chapter 8, where Jesus even uses God's name, I am. Jesus uses God's name for himself. And the people at that time, they wanted to kill him for blasphemy because they realize what Jesus is doing. Jesus is saying, I'm equal with God. Now, I guess it could be easy to say things like this, right? For example, here's my son Isaac. That's him after he lost a tooth earlier this year. Isaac is 6. We heard from him a bit earlier on. Isaac has said to us many times, hey, I'm so strong, I could lift up our whole house. And he says, wow, Isaac, that's amazing. You must be really strong, mate. Can you show me? To which he replies, well, I could, but I just don't feel like it right now. It can be easy to say something big, much harder to back it up, right? So back to Jesus. He says things that make out like he's God, but can he back it up? Or is he just all talk? Well, actually, in the Bible, we see Jesus doing things that only God can do. I just want to take you to one example. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus does two miraculous signs. Firstly, he feeds over 5,000 people with just 5 little loaves of bread and a couple of fish. And then later that night, he walks on water and controls the windy, out-of-control seas. And already you've got to think, that's very impressive, right? Already you might be thinking, someone that can do this is more than just a mere human. But for the Jews who really know their Old Testaments, they see something more here. Because who is it in the Old Testament? Who's the one in the Old Testament who feeds the people in the desert places? Who's the one who controls the water, the wind and the waves? Well, it's very clearly that it's God. In fact, all through Jesus' life, we see him doing things, that only God can do. See, Jesus doesn't just talk a big game. He backs it up. He says he's God, and then he goes and he does the things that show he is God. So much so that other people recognize this about Jesus too. So Matthew was one of Jesus' closest followers, a friend of Jesus. He wrote one of the books we have in the Bible. You'll know it by his name. It's called Matthew. It's a book all about Jesus' life. And when Matthew writes about what happened during Jesus' birth, after Jesus was born, this is what Matthew says. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they'll call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. That's the thing that Matthew notices about Jesus. He's not just an ordinary person, but Jesus is God with us. Or take Paul, for example. Paul's one of the early Christian leaders. He sent a letter to a church, and in this letter he wrote, "For in Christ, for in Jesus, all the fullness of deity lives in bodily form." That is, Jesus is not just part God or semi-God. He is fully God. He has the fullness of deity in him. Or John says the same thing. John was even a closer friend to Jesus than Matthew was. Like Matthew, he wrote a book about Jesus' life. Meredith just read the start of it for us before. And did you hear what John said right at the start of his book? He's talking about Jesus. He calls Jesus the Word. And he said, "In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God." There's plenty more that we could jump into and see about Jesus. But even just with the bit we've been able to skim over now, we're already seeing, right, Jesus is God. It's very clear in the Bible that Jesus is God. And he's not the Father, and he's not a separate God to the Father, and yet he is God. But before we get too carried with that, the Bible has more to say to us again. Because in the Bible, we also meet the Spirit. Right back when the world is made, the Spirit is there. He's hovering over the face of the waters. And as we go on in the Bible, we see that the Spirit is not just an impersonal force. It's not the Spirit's not an it. The Spirit's a person. He's a he. And so in the New Testament, Jesus talks about him. Before Jesus dies, he tells his followers that he's going away from them. But when he does go, he says, "I promise I'm going to send you another advocate." That is, Jesus won't be around with them anymore, but he's going to give them the Spirit. And the Spirit will minister to them in the same way that Jesus has. He's another advocate. Notice though, the Spirit is not a lesser advocate, a poor man's advocate, the Pepsi to Jesus' Coca-Cola. The Spirit is no downgrade, because the Spirit is God too. That's why he's often called the Holy Spirit. Because in the Bible, who is the Holy One? It's God. And that's who the Spirit is. The Spirit is God. That's why he's called the Holy Spirit. And so later on in Acts, now Acts is the part of the Bible that talks to us about the early church, what happened after Jesus ascended back to heaven. Now in Acts, there's a couple of people who lie. They lie about something they've done. And Peter, who's there, Peter, he's the leader of the early church. And Peter says that these people have lied to the Holy Spirit. But what's interesting, in the very next verse, Peter says that they've lied to God. Now, he's not saying that they've lied twice, because it's the same thing. Lying to the Spirit is lying to God, because the Spirit is God. It's perhaps Jesus' own words that tie this together so well. Before Jesus goes back to heaven, he gives his followers a great mission. He says, now you are my followers. I want you to go out there and help more people become followers, more people become disciples. Wherever you go, that's what you're to do. And part of this, Jesus says, part of this means baptizing these new followers, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Notice something there. There is one name. Three people, Father, Son, and Spirit, but one name, the name of God. Because the Bible tells us that God is three in one. Again, there's so much more we could say from the Bible, so much more depth we could dig into. We've really only barely skimmed the surface of anything today. But so that we're not here until midday, let me try and pull a few things together. The Trinity is not a human invention. Some people say, you know, the Trinity's not there, it's not in the Bible. You can never point to chapter and verse where the Bible says Trinity. And they're right, you cannot point to a chapter or verse in the Bible. That the word is not in the Bible. But the idea is clearly there. And actually, think about it like this. If you were going to invent your own religion, if you're going to just make this whole thing up, would you invent the Trinity as an idea? You wouldn't, would you? Of course not. You'd make something that people could understand much more easily. The reason we believe in the Trinity is because it's there in the Bible. It's not a human invention. The reason we believe in the Trinity is because this is who God truly is. He is three in one. And it's fair to say that the Trinity is a tricky idea. How do we make sense of this three-in-one thing? So over time, people have tried to come up with some good illustrations that might help us understand what it means that God is three-in-one, to help us understand the Trinity. Problem is, none of them really work. So some people have said that God is like water. You know, with water, it can exist as ice and water and steam. That's like God. He exists as Father, Son, and Spirit. But the problem with this idea is that ice and water and steam are just the same thing in three different forms. Make it a bit too hot and it becomes steam. Make it a bit too cold and it becomes ice. Leave it just right and it's water you can drink. But that's not what God is like, is he? The Father is not just the Son in a different form. The Spirit is not just the Father in a different mode. Now, it's not that God kind of puts a mask on one day and says, hey, guess what? Now I'm the Spirit. And then tomorrow he picks up another mask and says, now I'm the Son. That's not God at all. There are three distinct persons in the Trinity. Not one God in three different modes or three different forms. One God who exists as three persons. So we can put a big cross through that. Others have said God is like an egg. God, imagine someone saying, you're like an egg. No. But the idea here is that, you know, egg is made up of three parts. You've got the shell, the white, and the yolk. And people say that's kind of what God is like as well. He's Father, Son, and Spirit. Or a different version of this is saying God is like the three-leaf clover. It's got the three different little kind of leaves that make up the one thing. Or God is like an apple. You've got the skin, the flesh, and the seeds. People say God is like an egg. But the problem with this is that you have to have an egg, you have to have all three parts, right? You have to have the shell, the white, and the yolk. So imagine you go to the shops today and you buy a carton of eggs and you bring them home and you crack them into the frying pan because you want to have one for lunch, but there's no yolk in there. So you get the next one and crack it, there's no yolk in there. And there's no yolk in anything. You've been ripped off, haven't you? Because you haven't really bought any eggs. For it to be a proper egg, it needs to have all three parts in it. But God is not like that. The Father, the Son, and the Spirit are not like that. They're not three parts that make up one God. No, the Father is God. The Son is God. The Spirit is God. You don't need all three parts together to make God. They don't need each other to be God. They are God. When I was a kid, there used to be this show on TV called Captain Planet. Who remembers Captain Planet? And now, for most of us who do, the theme song will be going around in our head for the rest of the day. So I apologize for that. But The basic idea of Captain Planet is that there are lots of baddies who are polluting the planet, and so five teenagers or young adults have been given these special rings, and each ring gives the person who has it a special power. There was earth, fire, wind, water, and heart. And they can use their powers against the baddies to stop them polluting the planet. But when things get really bad, they might need extra help. And so they fire their rings to the sky, and their powers combined brings on Captain Planet, who comes and saves the day. God is not like that. It's not that you have the Father, the Son, and the Spirit who come together, and their powers combined means that He is the Lord God Almighty to save the day. No, no, because the Father is God, the Spirit is God, the Son is God. They're one being, one God, but three persons. This is not really an example or an illustration, but the best thing that I've seen that shows you what we're talking about with the Trinity is this drawing. It shows that the Father, the Son, and the Spirit are one God. But they're not each other. Like, the Father is not the Son, the Spirit is not the Father, and so on. There's three distinct persons. And yet each are God. The Father is God, the Son is God, the Spirit is God. One being, one God, who exists as three persons, Father, Son, and Spirit. Friends, this is our God, the great three in one. But why does it matter? I said earlier that this isn't just theological mumbo jumbo. It's not just something for the theological nerds to dream about and debate over and have lots of fun talking with one another. No, this matters for all 8 billion people alive today. Let me give you 4 reasons why this matters. Firstly, the Trinity matters because it means our sins can be forgiven. Think about it like this. If Jesus is not God, then who is He? Well, we know He's a human. Jesus is a human. He's also more than a human in the sense of He can do stuff that, you know, normal people like us can't do. But yeah, we've also said He's not God like the Father is God. He's something else, okay. There's God, there's us, and then there's Jesus, who's something else. He's some kind of random who's thrown in the mix. Now, I've got a problem with God. In fact, we all have. We've all sinned against God. We've done the wrong thing. And we've sinned against the other people that God has made as well. And God is just, and so there's some punishment that I deserve, that we deserve, which kind of, we've got 2 options at this point. Either we can pay that punishment, we can do it ourselves, that would be justice. Or God, He could absorb that punishment in Himself, that would be justice with mercy towards us. But one thing that can't happen, the random person over to the side can't come in and take the punishment for us. This is between us and God. This random person has nothing to do with it. You see that? If Jesus is not God, without the Trinity, the cross does not work. Because it means that Jesus would just be a random guy. And it would be unjust for God to punish a random guy for something that I had done. But of course, we know that God is three in one. The Son, Jesus, is God. He's the eternal Son, which means the cross has worked. God has absorbed that blow. God has absorbed that punishment in Himself. The Son is taking that wrath on so that I don't have to, so that my sin is atoned by Jesus, which means now, every one of the 8 billion people living on earth can be forgiven. We can all be made right with God, with the God who made each one of us. And we can have confidence that our sin is dealt with if we go to Jesus, who is God. This is possible because God is three in one. To see why the Trinity matters. Secondly, the Trinity matters because it shows us that God is relational. God is not some distant, far-off, abstract, unconcerned force. No, God is relational in himself. God doesn't need us to be relational, doesn't need us to relate to, because he's three in one. So think about it like this. Into eternity past, God has been relational. The Son loving the Father loving the Spirit loving the Son. That's how God has been for all eternity, forever and ever ago, and forever into the future. God has always existed in loving relationship. Now, here's the really wild, the really crazy thing about all this. This eternal loving relationship that the three-in-one God has, God brings us people into that. You know, earlier on we heard Jesus say that he and the Father are one. They're together with the Spirit. They exist in this eternal loving relationship. But not long after Jesus said that, he went on to tell his followers about a day that was coming. Now, listen to this, it's crazy. Jesus says, on that day you'll realize that I'm in my Father, which we knew already. But here's the crazy thing. And Jesus says to him, and you are in me, and I'm in you. Just let that sink in for a moment. Father, Son, Spirit, all one. One God in a beautiful, loving relationship for all eternity. And now through Jesus, we actually get to be part of that, to experience the love of the Father, the same love that the Father has for the Son and the Spirit. We get to experience the same love that the Spirit has for the Son and the Father. And through Jesus, this is open to any of the 8 billion of alive who are alive on the earth right now. God is three in one, which means he has been relational, always has been, always will be, and joy of all joys, we can be caught up into that relationship of pure love with God too. You see why the Trinity matters. Third thing, now, the Trinity matters because it means we can truly know God. I heard a little bit about this in the All Ages spot earlier, so I'm not going to go over this in lots of detail now. But we can know God because Jesus is God. He's not someone who's just telling us about kind of what God is like or the kind of things he's heard about God. No, no, he is God. He can show us the fullness of God. But also, we can know God because the Spirit is God. And you know, the Father and the Son, they send the Spirit out to us, and the Spirit now lives in those of us who are believers. And the Spirit, he leads us in the truth about God, and he can do that because he is God. Which again, that means all 8 billion of us walking this planet, we can know the God who made us. So I want to say to you, friends, if you're a believer, have full confidence that you do know God. You don't just know some things about him, you know him. Because Jesus and the Spirit have truly revealed him to you. We have this confidence because God is three in one. You see why the Trinity matters. Fourth one here, final one. The Trinity matters because this truth leads us to rightly be in awe of God. Let's be honest, the Trinity is a hard thing to grasp, right? We don't know anything like this. Like, I'm one person in one being. We're saying today that God is three persons in one being. And, well, I don't fully grasp that. Maybe you do, and that's fantastic. If you do, come and talk to me later, right? But I suspect that none of us properly fully grasp this in its entirety. But then again, why should I? Like, what makes me think that me, one of God's creatures, one of the things that God has made, what makes me think that I should be able to fully comprehend and understand God in his totality? What makes me think I should be able to understand the one who created me fully? Of course there's going to be mystery there. Of course there's going to be things that my created brain just cannot hold together. Of course, now, I can truly know God, but also I don't completely know God. I truly know him, but he's much bigger than I can fully understand. And this leaves me in a place of awe, a place of awe and wonder at who our God is, the great three in one. Do you see, friends, why the Trinity matters? Why don't I pray for us? So God, asking God that he would help us have eyes to see him and be in awe of him. Let me pray. Oh, Lord God Almighty, when we even just skim over some of these truths in the Bible, we can't help but be in awe of you, in wonder at who you are. You are bigger than our minds grasp. You are more than we can fully comprehend. But we stop here now and we stand and we praise you, God. We praise you that you are three in one, Father, Son, and Spirit. We praise you because we know that you are good, and we see that in the way you work for us, bringing our forgiveness of sins through the cross. We see this goodness of you in the way that you relate to us and bring us into your eternal relationship. Great God, we know that you are good. Please help us be in awe and wonder at you, the great three in one who we worship. Lead us there, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.